Hello and welcome once again from me, Lynette Edwards, and my co-reader, John Hoyle, to Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. This is edition number 2302, recorded on Thursday the 5th of December. Today we have five sets of news items from the Norwich Evening News, two features and some letters. We'll mention straight away that postal deliveries seem to be severely delayed. Several of you have called to say your wallet has not arrived, and we know that they were all very late. Unfortunately, we cannot do anything about that apart from contacting Royal Mail to ask them to help speed things up, which we have done. Let's hope the message gets through. We're very pleased to welcome new listener Anne Clark from Blowfield Heath. We hope you enjoy what we have to offer. Today you also have the latest Chatterbox Norfolk magazine at the end of this weekly edition. Here is a brief look from Sally at what you will find there.
Hello everyone. The December 2024 Christmassy edition of Chatterbox Norfolk magazine is ready for you. This month we hear from the indomitable Lady Glenconner about Christmas at Holkham and her new book about the curiously British obsession with picnics. We meet Norwich's new pantomime dame, learn of festive foodie treats available from our Norfolk producers, and find out what seasonal cheer is available at our grand houses. We have several other interesting articles, along with our regular features and contributors. So please do stay with us after the news.
We'll remind you about this at the end of our recording. Now over to John.
Hello, what's happening in the county? Apparently we're told that Norfolk is worth investing in. And also there is the likely addition of a dental school at the University of East Anglia. On the other hand, there are road restrictions on the A47 and criticism of the City Council regarding the Hay Hill revamp. We'll start, however, with news of the forthcoming nationalisation of Greater Anglia Rail. Greater Anglia will be nationalised under a government overhaul of the rail network. From next autumn, Greater Anglia, which is currently operated by the Transport UK Group, will return to public ownership. It will be one of the country's first train services to come under public control as part of a new law to improve the rail network. South Western Railway's train services will be the first transfer into public ownership from May next year, followed by C2C in July and Greater Anglia in autumn 2025. The government's Department for Transport said the move will mean railways are run in the interest of passengers and taxpayers after 30 years of privatisation.
Norfolk is proving to be a county worth investing in, according to a report based on its top 100 firms. The Norfolk Limited 2024, which pulls together 100 of the county's largest independently owned or controlled companies, has revealed there is more to the region's business landscape than agriculture. The report, compiled by Lovell Blake and Mills and Reeve, serves as a snapshot of the county's economy based on the listed companies. Since November last year, there has been a 13.2% increase in aggregate turnover. Three of the 100 businesses that are in the oil, gas and energy sector have more than doubled their revenue, with a 54.1% revenue increase since 2023. The data showed that despite the county's agricultural reputation, several other industries are proving successful and offering a diversity to Norfolk's business economy, with four of the seven sectors increasing their revenue by 15% or more.
Plans for a dental school to end the crisis that has meant people in Norfolk are unable to see dentists have been handed a £1.5 million boost. Council leaders agreed to give the University of East Anglia the money to help create the building at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, which would house the school. There have been calls for the school at the UEA to end the dental desert, which means many of the county have no access to NHS dental treatment. The £1.5 million will go towards the creation of a £3 million school of oral health on the second floor of an extension at the Edith Cavell buildings at the NNN. The UEA would provide a further £1.5 million from its capital budget for equipment, including 9 dentist chairs and specialist teaching facilities. Initially, 40 students would be enrolled each year, but the next phase would see an even larger expansion, with another 31 chairs added to enable 65 students a year.
The speed limit on three stretches of the A47 could be cut to 50 miles per hour, with cameras installed to enforce the new restrictions. National Highways is starting consultation over the changes, which it says are needed to improve safety. The organisation had previously announced it wanted to cut the speed limit from 60 miles per hour to 50 miles per hour on the notorious Acle Strait near Great Yarmouth and on the section between Little Frensham and the Dereham Bypass. But National Highways has now announced it also wants to reduce the limit to 50 miles per hour between King's Lynn and Wisbeach. A National Highways spokesman said, "Safety is and always will be our number one priority, and that is why our ambition remains that no one should be harmed while travelling or working on our roads." The proposal aims to improve road safety for all road users by introducing reduced speed limits, which we anticipate will reduce the frequency and severity of collisions.
City Hall has been accused of setting a bad example with its ugly revamp of Hay Hill. The Labour-run authority is facing criticism from councillors over the £3.2 million scheme, which was completed last month after a series of long delays. The project was funded by the government's £25 million Towns Fund, and Lib Dem councillor Judith Lubbock believes the council was forced to conjure up a big transformative scheme to secure this money, even though a revamp on this scale was not necessarily required. Hay Hill only needed tinkering with around the edges, she added. Mike Stonard, leader of the council, responded, "Hay Hill was designed from the outset with sustainability and accessibility at its core. The inclusivity of the design was considered carefully, with all areas of the site being accessible by compliant ramps and with steps designed with visual contrast and handrails."